All right, let's get started. It's 5 o'clock, so thank you very much for joining the last session of the day, right before the concert. So we're gonna see some exciting stuff and then go sing with Bon Jovi. So my name is Rolando Jimenez. I'm a lead program manager on the Office team, leading the new investments that we have for apps for Office in 2013. And today we're gonna do a deeper dive into how to create apps that integrate into Word, Excel, or PowerPoint. So we're going to spend some time doing a little bit of intro, but I want to spend most of the time showing you how to do the code and how to create these apps. So I will spend a lot of time in the Visual Studio. So I want to start with setting the context. So how many of you attended the intro sessions on apps for Office and the Cloud App Model? Okay, so half. Good. I just want to set the stage talking about where does this session fit in the overall model. And as you saw in previous session, the new Cloud App Model is basically one common set of elements that apply both for development story for SharePoint as well as for Office. So the common elements are convergence into web standards, ability for doing client-side and server-side logic to integrate into Office. There is isolation of this logic on both sides. So if you're running client-side logic, we're running that out of process in a browser, and the browser takes care of isolating all the JavaScript logic that you have client-side. In the case of server-side logic, we no longer run that logic on SharePoint. We'll run that out of box on a web server. And that web server can be anything. It can be IIS, it can be Azure, it can be Linux on a LAMP stack. So there's a lot of possibilities and flexibility on the server side. So you can integrate all that into your app. And then we have a set of investments around making sure that there are great APIs so that you can actually do cool things and interesting scenarios in terms of integrating and interoperating with Office and with SharePoint. So today, we're going to focus on the client-side logic, how to create apps for Office mostly on the client side. We're going to do a deep dive into the Office JavaScript API that allows you to read and write into Office documents. And we're also going to talk about the tooling story. So all the demos that we'll see will be based on Visual Studio. So hopefully, by the end of the session, you will have a good idea of what are the capabilities of the API, what's the development story, and a little bit of what are the possibilities in terms of scenarios. So I'll try to talk about and show you some of the potential scenarios that you can build with these APIs. Just to set the core concepts, in the overview sessions, we explained that an app for Office or an app for SharePoint is a very simple concept. It's just a web page and an XML manifest. The web page is hosted on the web server and served to the client, and the client side logic, the HTML of the JavaScript, is executed in the browser context, or you can have server logic as well running on the server. So, and then you have a manifest, which is very simple XML file that describes how that web page, in this case, integrates into the Office clients. So that's what we're going to be creating today. And also just a quick recap of some of the core concepts to make sure that we're talking about the same things here. We support three shapes, three UI shapes in which user can interact with apps for Office. In Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Task pane, which is the next to the document, the side. The content shape, which is basically like a chart. It is anchored to a particular part of the document. It prints with the document. If you send the document, it goes with the document as well. And then for Mail Apps, we have this contextual pane that shows up. So I'm assuming that most of the folks here already saw demos about these, and since we're going to be creating these, I'm not going to show a lot of runtime demos. But let me know if you're interested. Since we're a small audience, I think we can take questions, and if you want to ask or see some demos of some of these things, we can definitely talk about that. One key aspect of this new platform to create apps for Office, in contrast with existing technologies like VSTO and VBA, is that the platform is designed to be cross-device and cross-app. What this means is that when you create an app for Office, an app for Excel, for example, that app for Excel can also work on the Excel desktop and the Excel web app. And that same app, same code base, could also run in Word, which is something that we never had before, right? This is something completely new, and it's one of the core principles of the platform. Make sure that we actually target the full Office suite as opposed to individual applications. So in this session, you'll see how you can create apps that work across all the different Office clients. We're going to talk about the JavaScript API, which was one of the key investments that we're making to enable app development. And in terms of security, I'm not going to talk about the details of how we sandbox the code, but I just want to mention that we also did a lot of work to make sure that applications are sandboxed from a security and performance perspective. And also even from a UI perspective, you'll see that the UI is going to be contained in a particular box that is all you have access to. And then the framework takes care of the rest of the UI integrations. And we're going to see those concepts in the demos. So before I continue, I want to ask you, who consider yourselves already Office developers? Like you guys are doing VSTO add-ins, a couple. Who of you are SharePoint developers that want to integrate Office and SharePoint together? Okay, majority. And who consider themselves web developers as well, have web development skills? Okay, perfect. So you'll see that for people that already know how to do SharePoint and they're learning the new app model for SharePoint, now doing Office and or SharePoint is going to be very familiar. One of the goals of this common model is that you don't need to make a choice of, oh, should I do this in Office or SharePoint? You should actually think about, why don't do both? Why don't you use the power of SharePoint and do what makes sense in SharePoint, but also integrate Office if your scenario is relevant for Office as well. And you will see that the story for development is very familiar in both cases. So the last slide I want to talk about is most of the session I'm going to spend on the APIs. So I'm going to walk through the different API capabilities. So I want to talk about some of the principles behind the APIs so that you guys have some context of where we're coming from. So one of the key goals for the new API, this is a new API from scratch. We didn't take the approach of taking the existing COM and .NET models and just migrate them to JavaScript. That was definitely not what we did here. And one of the main reasons is because we want to make sure that the new API is thought in a way that we support these principles. And cross-platform is definitely one of the key goals here. We want to make sure that we have a new app model that allows you to target all the Office clients. So the Office clients have evolved. 25 years ago when we invented VBA, there were only the desktop clients. But now we have mobile clients, we have Mac clients, we have Win8, we have other platforms, we have web apps. So, and there's no single technology today that allows you to target everything. And that's one of the key goals. This platform is you create an app and it should work in all these clients where Office runs. We talked about the cross-app concept. Basically, presenting Office as a suite to the developer where you don't necessarily need to think about, hey, I want to target Word or I want to target Excel. You can do that, certainly, but you can also say, I want to target Office, and then you want to create an app for Office in general. And then, of course, make sure that the compatibility version to version, we're tapping onto web standards, and performance is one of the key aspects as well. So you will see that a lot of the API calls that we have are async, and that's because we want to make sure that we give you the tools to create very performant apps. So with that, I'm going to dive into this part of the presentation, which is we're going to focus on creating apps for the clients, the Office clients that are document-based, specifically Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. The API also covers some other areas, like you can create apps for Outlook, which will target a mailbox set of APIs, or you can create apps for Project, which will target project and tasks. In this session, we're going to focus on the blue part. There's going to be another session tomorrow, 9 a.m., that will focus on the middle part. So let's jump into Visual Studio now. All right, so I'm going to start with a very basic Hello World example, and then we're going to grow the complexity of the application, and hopefully you will find some interesting possibilities here. So this is Visual Studio, and the new version 2012 comes with templates for apps for Office. So I'm going to create a new app for Office in this case. Call it my demo app, and click OK. And then the first thing I need to decide here is just the shape. So we talked about the three different shapes. In this case, we're going to target task pane first. And you can see I can actually create an app that targets the four applications at the same time. I don't necessarily need to just pick and pick one. I can target the four. So I'm going to keep that default and say finish here. And Visual Studio is going to automatically create all the different artifacts that I need for my app. So as we talked, the key concepts are an XML manifest, which I can see here. This is the XML that describes how my app integrates into Office. And there is a nice designer here in Visual Studio where you can edit that manifest. You don't necessarily need to deal with the XML if you don't want to. And a couple of key elements here is the main page. This is the main page for my app. It's just an HTML page. And Visual Studio also added a few script files so that I can put my logic. So this is my demo app script file, which already contains some code. So with that, I want to show you that I can just press F5. And that is going to run the default template with default sample code. So there it is, Excel runs, and I have a task pane with some sample code that allows me to get and set the data. So I can say hello, and I can click this button and read the data, or I can say, and then set the data. So very simple. I'm going to stop the app. So let's see what is going on. And I want to talk about some of the things here. Looking at the HTML file that Visual Studio generates for me, one of the key things here is the JavaScript include that allows me to talk to the Office JavaScript API. So that's probably one of the most important things that you need to know. You need to include that office.js. And in the current version of Visual Studio, you'll see that this line, which is also including another version of Office.js, commented out. We're going to change this, and we're going to make this the default. So the idea here is that by default, you will be pointing to the CDN location that it's hosted on on Microsoft.com to include in your app. And the advantage of doing this is that as updates happen to the API, you will automatically receive those updates. So you have a choice of selecting the CDN, and then you get updated as the API gets updated. Or you can work with your local copy in Visual Studio. Now, that's the JavaScript file. Now, let's start doing something more interesting, and let's look at the code. So as you saw, we did a basic task pane that allows me to read and set the selection. So let's look at the API that are doing this. So in this case, the first thing that you want to do in your app for Office is implement this Office initialize function. So Visual Studio already gives you an empty or a sample implementation of that. You actually don't need to include any code inside, but you need to have that function because that function is basically the handshake that the runtime expects so that when your app loads, it calls it. And if that function is not present, your app is going to throw an error. So you definitely need to have that function. So that function is the first thing that gets implemented. And then after that, when we press the set data button, this function is called. And I want to show you, Visual Studio gives you some nice IntelliSense. And this is where you get access to all the different objects. So the office object, which is provided by the office.javascript include, is the entry point for everything else. And from this, you will want to do office.context, which basically gives you the runtime context in which your app is running. And from there, you can access all the different objects. And for PowerPoint, Word, and Excel, the most important element here is the document. And the document object has all the different APIs that we support. And again, all these APIs are created from scratch, and there's a lot of abstractions. So you will see that the API is a very lightweight API. It's not a very deep, super complex object model, but it gives you a lot of capabilities. So let's take a look at those. So we saw the sample code did a very simple get and set of the text. I want to start making this a little bit more interesting and show you that I can also run that app in Word. So we run it in Excel, but if I come here, click on that project, I can change the start action to any of the applications that I want. So I'm going to go to Word, because Word is one of the applications that support not only text, but also other formats for getting and setting the selection. And I want to show you how that can be done. So I'm going to switch to Word. And another thing that I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a parameter here to specify that I don't want to set the selection just as plain text, but I want to use HTML. And this is, again, now blending HTML and Office. So it's very easy just to integrate these two worlds. So here I need to provide an optional parameter, which is coercion type. And there is an enum that defines the possibilities here. So if I select coercion type, dot, and you can see there is an HTML option, open XML option, and a text option. There's also tables and matrices. So for now, I want to show you how to use coercion type to change the type of data that you can get and set. So in this case, I'm going to do HTML. We also have some shortcuts so that you don't need to use the enums if you don't want to. So if you prefer using strings, you can also do just HTML like that. I'm going to go back to the enum. HTML. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the data, and I want Word to interpret it as HTML. So let's see how that looks like. So since I changed the run application to Word, this is now running in Word. And the same code that I use to run in Excel, I can run in Word. And I have some sample HTML here that I want to use. I'm going to ignore that for a moment. Where did I leave that? Here. So let's see, I have an HTML snippet here. Oops. I'm going to open my Word document. And I'm going to paste that here. And then click the Set Data button. And did I set my breakpoint correctly? Oh, wait a second. Some reason the debugger seems to not have caught that. Let me run that again. Oh, am I missing? I'm missing a bracket. Stop debugging. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Thanks about that. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to run that code and then set here some HTML on my app in this text box, and then set the data. So I'm going to execute the set selected data async function, and I'm going to pass the HTML coercion type, and then let it run, and then see what happens. So you can see that now the information was bolded. And for some reason, it didn't take my formatting, but it did take the bold. Maybe I have some issue with my HTML. Let me go back and make that text box a little bit bigger so that we can see what's going on. So text area type. So let's convert this into a text area. And put the sample data here. So I'm editing the main page of the HTML, and I'm going to change that input with a text area. And let's say I want that text area to be bigger, so I want 40 columns. And let me roll. So as you can see, this is just a plain HTML that I'm doing here. And let's run it again. So my app runs. Now I change the HTML. One trick that you can use when you're creating these applications is that you don't actually need to stop and start debugging every time you change the HTML. You can actually come back here and change the HTML. So for example, I can say demo, save it, then come back to my application, and then hit refresh here, which is F5. And the HTML refreshes. So if you are doing a lot of changes, no need to stop and start the debugger, which is very, very nice. So let's paste again some HTML there. Let's see, it seems to be correct. And do a set data. And see what happens. Okay, for some reason it's not taking my background color. Not sure why. Okay, we'll try to debug that later. So, very simple example of dealing with HTML as well. So Word will be able to consume some HTML. I want to show you something really cool that you can do in Word, which is dealing with OpenXML. So for those that are not very familiar with the Office clients, OpenXML is the standard format in which all the files are saved. So the API allows you to get and set OpenXML as well. So let me show you how powerful that can be in a very quick example. So I'm going to use now a different coercion type here to get and set OpenXML. I'm going to select OpenXML here. And then when I'm getting the data here, this is the getSelectedData async function. I'm going to do OpenXML as well. So you can see now I'm going to get and set OpenXML. And I'm going to add some code here, and you will see what that code does. So this code basically is going to replace some placeholders that I'm going to have in my OpenXML. So as you can see, I'm going to get the value for the text box, put it into this variable, and then after that start replacing a set of elements that I know are going to be inside that that box. And then send that to the set selected data API as OpenXML. So I'm going to get the selection as OpenXML. And then when I click set, I'm going to set the selection. But before setting it, I'm going to do some replacements on whatever OpenXML I'm passing in. And let me show you what type of stuff you can do with this OpenXML format. So by the way, OpenXML is one of the technologies that we expect to be part of the Cloud App model on the server side as well as on the client side to do things like this. And the richness of OpenXML is that with OpenXML, you can pretty much describe any object that you can put into a Word document. So it's very, very rich. So what I want to show you is that I can come here and insert a smart art. Let's say I want to do org chart. And imagine the scenario here is I want to auto-populate an org chart from some information that I have in my database. And I want to create a very nice looking chart. So I can come to Word here and say, okay, the basic structure for my org chart is going to be like this. I'm going to have a manager and employees. Right? And then I can also use the power of Word to do some nice formatting. So once I have the content as I have it, because I can use OpenXML in the API, I can do something like this. I have my content. I can use this now as a template. And now I'm going to do a get data. So that get data is going to get the OpenXML representation of whatever is selected, which is that SmartArt object. Now that I have it there, I could store it in a database for later use as a template of content and then use it. But what I want to show you here is I can also set it. And when I set it, I'm going to, again, call my set selected data API. But I did the replacements for some placeholder I typed in. So that when I come back to my Word document, I basically pasted this auto-generated chart based on a template that I authored in Word. As a developer, it was very easy. I just did make it look nice, took it, and then I just replaced the elements. In this case, I put the names of the team that I work on. But imagine the type of scenarios that you can enable with this. And OpenXML, again, can describe anything that you can put inside a Word document. So the API, in this case, gives you a lot of power in terms of reading and writing the selection. So you can actually auto-generate very nice-looking documents and content on your JavaScript or by connecting to a service that spits out the OpenXML, and then the client basically injects that OpenXML in the document. So very simple concept, but you can start seeing how the power of the scenarios that you can implement on these. I'm gonna now. We talked about the very basic API, which is about getting and setting the selection and the different formats. Now we're gonna switch into another part of the API, which is how to deal with other types of data structures and a concept called bindings. So for that, I want to start a new project. And I'm going to create an app for Office, which is basically a Bing map visualization that allows me to visualize data from Excel into a map. And we're going to see how we do that. So I'm going to call it Bing map MSPC. In this case, since it's a visualization, I want it to be a content app, which is like a chart. So Visual Studio is going to set up everything for me, so the manifest is going to specify the content shape. And again, I already get my standard code. So I'm going to start this project from scratch, and I'm going to start dropping some code here. So I'm going to put this side by side with my, let me close these, my code snippets. All right. So the first thing that I want to do for this map is I want to include the Bing map control. And again, one of the powers of this platform is that you can reuse any JavaScript libraries that are out there. So in this case, I'm going to reuse the Bing map control provided by the Bing map team. So I'm going to go to my main HTML page and add a reference to that script. So just drag. So all I'm doing is a script to the Bing map control here. Once I have that, let's replace this default body with some body elements that I need for my map. So I'm going to have a div where I'm going to use for the map control. And then I'm going to add a few buttons that we will use to trigger different functions for the map, like mapping the data, saving settings, et cetera. And then I have this debug div that will allow me to output what's going on in the API. And this is important because one of the things that we did in terms of isolation of the app's UI is that we suppress alerts. So you cannot use alerts, the standard window.alert in your code. And the main reason is because we didn't want apps to basically interfere with the user experience of Office. So imagine an app that maliciously or just a bad developed app that raises an alert, and I'm typing in Word, and all of a sudden this app starts doing alerts. The problem with alerts specifically is that those are blocking. So I cannot do anything else unless I dismiss that alert. For that reason, we suppress alerts. So one technique that we recommend is that you actually use a div, and then all the output that you would put into alert, like debug or messages, you do it through divs. And that's the technique that we're going to follow here. Now, that's all I need for my HTML. Let's go to the code. And I'm going to start from scratch here. I'm going to delete everything that Visual Studio gave me out of the box, and then start adding some functions. So first, I want to do initialize function. So let's see what we have here. The first thing we're doing is we're getting the office.context.document and putting it into a variable that I can use across the project. We're going to come back to these settings later, but basically this is code that allows me to save state for my app. There is this very simple show message function that allows me to write to that div. This is by my window.alert replacement. And as you can see, I'm using jQuery as well here, which Visual Studio already included as my reference, to do the initialization of the map. So with this, I should already have a very simple app that shows a map but doesn't yet integrate with Office. So let's see how that looks like. So there it is. You can see how easy, already I have a map in Excel. Like, imagine how much effort would this have taken in the existing technologies. For the first, you couldn't integrate something into the surface of the Excel, or it was really, really difficult. And the second, just putting a map inside there was super hard. And we just did it in less than 5-10 minutes. So there is my map, and my map has some buttons there. So I should change the size. So those are my buttons, and my div must be over there. The resolution is a bit smaller here. But then let's start doing some interesting stuff here. So I'm going to now add some functions that allow me to drive the map. And this is going to be a bunch of code, but it's just code that it's driving the map. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at that code, but I'm going to drag several lines of code, but it's not huge. I mean, you can see it's just a couple of functions and some variables. Just to let you know what this is doing, this is basically just driving the map. It has nothing to do with Office. It's just functions that allow me to render map. So it receives an array of cities and puts those in the map. There's this map points utility function, which is actually the one that creates the pins in the map. And then there is this zoom to points, which basically sets the map to the right zoom level. There is a geo code callback, which connects to the Bing map service, and giving text or an address gives me back the coordinates so that I can place a pin in the right location. And those are all the functions that I have for driving the map. So again, these are functions that have nothing to do with Office, but that's something that you would do on a web page as well, right? Once I have my mapping functions, let's start doing some integration into Office, which is the interesting part. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add a read function, which is referenced by my read button. So as you can see, the onClick is just going to invoke that read function. And then see what happens there. So I'm going to click F5. So the map's going to render again. And let me make it bigger so that I can see the buttons. So there's my read button. I'm going to click it, hit the breakpoint. So the document is initialized. And I'm doing again, I get selected data. But in this time, I'm selecting the data as matrix. So this is one of the things of the API. Not only you support text, but we also support a couple of other objects, matrix and tables. So matrix is effectively a bidimensional JavaScript array. So what you get back when you do this is a JavaScript array that you can use very easily. And as you can see, this function is async. So the callback function that I'm providing here is going to be called in an async way. So that's why I'm going to put another breakpoint here and hit a 5 so that it runs. And the first thing you want to do is check if the call succeeded, which you can easily do in this result parameter that you get on the callback function to see if it succeeded or failed. In this case, we can see that it succeeded. And we can see that the value is an empty array in this case because there was nothing selected. So and that's going to render the map with an empty array. But let's select something that makes sense. So let's do, I'm going to type Las Vegas. And actually, I can type additional cities as well. So and let's do Seattle. Oh, typo here. Now I'm going to select that. I'm going to do the same read. Again, same thing. Succeeded, and let it run. And now you can see how I'm mapping those two elements. So very simple, right? I just read the selection, I get it as a bidimensional array, and pass it to my render map function, which takes that array of cities and puts it on the map. All right. Let's see. We saw how to read. And now let's see what can we do in terms of writing back to the document. So I'm going to go back and not stop the project and insert implementation for my write function. So I have this write table function. And let's see what happens. In this case, I do need to stop because I need to refresh the debugger. Actually, let me try something. I'm going to just hit the 5 here, get the new code. Oh, I didn't save. Sorry. Okay, there we go. You can see I didn't stop the debugger. I just updated the code, hit the 5 on the app, and then the debugger automatically refreshed. So I can see now the breakpoint is going to be hit. So let me move the map up a little bit and maximize this. Let's put this ribbon up. All right, so now let's press the write button. So in the write button, I want to introduce another concept here, the notion of being able to handle tables. So table is another object that is supported by the API. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I want to create a table of data in Excel. So I create this office.tableData object that allows me to do that. So very simple, just and then initialize it with a set of headers. Cities is going to be the header, and I'm going to initialize it with 3 cities. So basically, you can see how I'm using just JavaScript regular array notation, nothing fancy here. And then I'm going to do the call to the set selected data async function, passing that object, and then with no optional parameters, and then see what happens. It succeeded. And I'm going to say F5. And look what happened. It inserted a table in Excel for me. So very convenient. I can bring data from the outside world. In this case, it was just hard-coded. But you can see how you can connect to any system you want and bring data, dump it into Excel. And then once it's in Excel, the user can do whatever they can do in Excel with the data, like create charts, pivot tables, analyze the data, do data cleansing. So the power of having these apps in Excel as compared to having this map in just a web page is that once the data interaction starts happening, the user, the Excel user, can leverage the power of Excel to deal with the data, which is something that if you were doing in a web page, you would basically have to program yourself the equivalent functionality that Excel provides you out of the box. So simple things like filtering, sorting, all those functions are already in Excel. and not to say that charts and pivot tables and all the different powerful features of Excel. So I grow to that data. Now, I want to switch to another concept, which is what we call bindings. So bindings is the way in which an app can establish basically a relationship with a particular section of a document so that it can consistently read and write to that section. And when I say section here, I really mean in Excel and in Word, we have constructs that allow you to specify what a section is. In Excel, it can be a table, or it can be a range of cells. Once you establish a binding to that section, basically you get events, or when things happen to that region, and you can also read and write to that region freely. So let's see how that works. So I'm going to come back here and add the ability to bind, so some code that allows me to bind. So I added two functions, a bind function that is going to be called when I click the bind button, and a render map from binding function, which is a helper function that takes a binding object, which represents that table, and renders the map based on the contents of that binding. So let's see how that works. Oops, once again, I need to save this and come to Excel, refresh. Okay, and let's see. Now I have my breakpoint will hit. And let's click this button. And let's see. We're going to now call this function, which is bindings. So there is a bindings collection. And I'm going to add a new binding in this document from a prompt. So I'm going to prompt the user to select the region of the document that they want to associate this app with. So I'm going to put another breakpoint for the success. But let's see what happens on the API. So since I specified I want to prompt the user, Excel automatically provides a UI for me so that the user can select whatever they want to bind. In this case, let's bind to the same table that we grow to. But I could actually select anything in the document and bind to that section. But since my data is already here, let's bind to that table. I'm going to click OK. And then in this case, the binding succeeded. And the next thing I'm going to do is render the map from binding. So all I'm going to do here is put another breakpoint. Now, I'm going to pass the binding, and I'm going to read the data inside that binding. So basically, the cities that are inside that binding, I'm going to read, and then call the render map with that collection of cities. So again, it's an async call, so there's a callback, in this case succeeded, and I can see that the cities is going to be returned as the rows of that table. So you can see the value there, Seattle, Kirkland, and Bellevue. It's going to be assigned to the cities variable and then render. So I'm going to press F5, and then you should see that we have the three cities over there. All right, so that's bindings. So very easy. Now I'm going to go to the next concept, which is events. So right now, if I change this data to nothing happens, right? But I'd like to have the map react to data changes. So let's do that. Let's add an event handler, which is also pretty straightforward. So I'm going to add one more function here to register an event handler. So register event. So in this case, I'm doing a register event, which adds a handler function and provide a handler function, which is also going to render the map. And then I'm going to update and refresh. Now I'm going to click the event. And now I registered an event for that binding, so that if I change the data here, now the event is triggered automatically. I'm going to let it run. And then you can see how now it updated the map automatically. So very easy to hook up events. And you can hook up data change events as well as selection change events. And the last thing I want to show with this example is this notion of settings. So settings is the ability for the app to persist a state for each instance of the app. So in this case, this particular app allows me to render the directions or just pins. And I want to save that setting into the document so that every time I open the document with this app, I get the correct rendering, directions or pins. So let's see how that can be done. So after my handler, I'm going to come here to my snippets and add one last function, which is settings. So the settings function is going to be executed when I click that settings button, and it's going to toggle the mode in which the map is rendering, either directions or points. And as you can see, there is a simple settings object that is hanging from the document, and there is a save async function that basically saves the document, the settings in the document. So next time I open the document, since I have that code in my initialization function, the first thing I'm doing is checking what is the setting that was saved. If there is no setting, then the default is points. But if there is a setting, then I pick it up from the persisted document. That's what I'm doing at the very beginning. Now I just added the function that persists that setting. So I'm going to save again and refresh. And then let's see what happens with these settings. Now, if I read, again, the data, I'm going to get rid of these breakpoints. We already saw that code. You can see how now the mode changed. And not only that, but I persisted the setting in the document. So the next time I'm opening this document, that setting is going to be picked up in the initialize function, and it's going to render the directions for that particular binding. So with this, we covered a few areas of the API, how to do selection-based changes, read and write, how to do bindings, how to do settings, which are some of the core elements of the API. Now I'm going to talk about a very interesting concept that it's also supported by the new platform, which is custom XML parts. And I want to ask you, who is familiar with custom XML parts? Okay, a couple of people. Yeah, custom XML parts is kind of this hidden, very powerful feature that not very many developers know, but once you know it, you really realize that there's a lot of powerful things that you can do here. So let me introduce the concept and then show you how you can use this in apps for Office that target Word. So first of all, some basic concepts. Office documents are effectively zip files. The docx format is effectively a zip file. So you can actually rename a docx file to .zip, and you can open it, and then you will see that inside the zip file, there is a bunch of XML descriptions of everything. And that is the open XML format that I was talking about. So everything is described in XML. Now, custom XML parts is the ability for you to add any custom XML of your choice to that zip file, and then have Word use that data to do mappings, for example, into the Word document. And that is done through another concept, which is content controls. So content controls is another feature in Word, not very well known, but that relates to custom XML parts in a way that allows you to basically, content control allows you to specify a region in a document. And you can map that region, that content control, to a particular element on your custom XML. So the scenario that I'm trying to build up here is, let's say you have an invoice XML that you read from some system, and you want to render that in Word. So what you can do is, you can create that custom XML and create a very nice looking Word document that maps that into different parts of the Word document. So let me show you how to do that. So I'm going to close this project, and I'm going to open Word here. The first thing that you need to do in order to deal with custom XML parts is to enable the developer tab. So by default, it's not enabled, but it's very easy to do that. So I'm going to come here to Options and say Customize Ribbon. And this is where you will find the developer tab. Once you enable the developer tab, it will appear here. And then I'm going to create a new document. And what I can do here is now I can go to this XML mapping pane. And this is where you load custom XML parts into your Word document. So let's do that. I'm going to drop down and say add new part. And I already have a custom XML invoice here that I can actually show it to you. It's very simple. I'm going to open that in Notepad. Nothing fancy, just a very brief description of a project with client, project name, and some activities. That's my custom XML. But you can put whatever you want there. So that's what I'm going to add to Word. So Word now added this part, which is the T-summary and namespace. Now, what I can do is I can select that part and then start mapping that into my Word document. So let's say I can do client, and I can select this client node and say insert a content control of type rich text. And that is going to basically be a section that is mapped to that element of the XML. And I can do that for project 2. Insert content control. And I can even do things like there is a new feature, which is the ability to have repeating elements in Word. This is new in 2013. And it's really convenient. I can do things like this. I can drag, for example, this date. Oops. Insert this date. There's no drag and drop. Insert the consultant. And then I can say, I want these to be repeating. So Word is going to automatically read all the sections and then auto-populate the table for me. Now, these, I did it manually in my UI, but the power of an AbstractOffice is that you can do this programmatically. So let's see how you can take advantage of this in an AbstractOffice project. So I'm going to start now a new project. Another AbstractOffice here. Call it custom XML demo. I'm going to say it's going to be a task pane, in this case for Word. And let's see what can we do here. So the first things I need to do is I'm going to use a debug document that I already created. So using just the Word interface, I already created an invoice document. I'm going to show it to you. But I'm going to add that to my project. So I'm going to add an existing document to my project. And here it is. Here, invoice.x. So if I open that document, you can see it's like a better, nicely formatted invoice with the same custom XML part mapping that I did. And I mapped some of the elements there. So that document has the mappings already. Now I'm going to also add a couple of sample XMLs so that we can work with them on the project. So I'm going to come here and add a couple of custom XML documents, invoice 1 and invoice 2. Now that is all part of my project now. What I want to do is I'm going to replace now all this code with some new code. So I very simple implementation of the initialize function, just getting access to the document again. Again, one message function here to be able to put some text. And I'm going to also add some logic that allows me to drive that custom XML. So what I'm going to do, and I'm missing also some HTML, so I'm going to get invoice function that basically reads the custom invoice, and this could go to any other external system. In this case, I'm just going to read one of these two files that I added to my project. And then I have a function that basically handles what happens once I read the XML. So I'm going to do a breakpoint there so that we can see what happens. And all I'm missing is some HTML here to capture the invoice. And let me minimize this. I think that HTML, let me copy from here. So let me add this XML to that project. I'm going to replace the body that Visual Studio gave me with my own. So you can see very simple, just a title. There is a select button that allows me to select which invoice I want to read. This, of course, could be more sophisticated, connecting to some backend system, and then a div for my message. And that's it. I'm going to save this, and then I'm going to tell Visual Studio to, instead of just run Word, use that invoice docx document that I imported for debugging. So I'm going to hit F5, and Word is now going to launch with that document. Now I can come here and insert this app that I'm creating, which is this custom XML demo. And then you can see my combo with the two invoices. Now I'm going to select an invoice, and I'm going to show you what happens. As you saw, the Word document didn't have any data yet. It was empty. It was just a template. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to read one of those invoices, so just based on the invoice number, which is invoice number one. I'm going to do a web request to my same server. And if it succeeds, I'm going to put the XML response on this variable, my XML, which is basically the XML that I showed you. And now I'm going to use this custom XML parts object that is part of the API that allows me to select a particular custom XML part by namespace. In this case, I'm selecting the tSummary, which is the namespace that I use to recognize my particular custom XML part. And then, if it is there, I'm going to delete it, delete whatever is in the document, and replace it with the XML that I read from my backend system, which is that invoice one, which is this my XML. So as you can see, I delete that existing part, if there is any, and I add a new one which replaces whatever was there. And the effect of that is going to be that the data is automatically populated for me. So as you can see from a developer perspective, it's very simple, but the scenario is very powerful in terms of, oh, now I can just shove data into Word, and the data renders in the nice places with all the formatting and everything. And all I'm dealing is with the XML. I don't need to mess around with all the formatting and what happens if I change stuff in the layout. The layout is fixed. All I do is put this XML. So I'm going to remove this breakpoint and then show you how, as I change this, the data automatically changes just by replacing that XML inside the Word document. So one additional concept that you can use for apps for Office, specifically in Word. So continuing, that's a quick overview. There's more that you can do with apps for Office. There's an object hierarchy. There are custom XML parts that you can navigate, so you can actually even subscribe to events. So if you have a mapping to a content control and the data changes, you can actually subscribe to those events and then do interesting stuff there. Unfortunately, we won't have time to see all that, but I wanted to spend the last 10-15 minutes talking about how apps for Office, apps for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint relate to SharePoint, because this is the SharePoint conference, so I thought that was relevant. So we did a quick overview of the API. I think we covered the most important elements. The API is not huge. We're starting with a very simple API that allows you to do simple stuff, but enables powerful scenarios, as you saw. There is a little bit more that we didn't cover, like the ability to read the entire document and send it to a service, some other types of formats that you can deal with. But we pretty much cover most of the ground supported by the API. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about connecting to SharePoint. So the power of the new model is, if you think about it, with Office 365, customers are going to have very rich environments that contain all the products of the Office suite. An Office 365 account includes Exchange, includes Link, includes Office, includes SharePoint. So in the past, it was hard for developers to say, hey, I want to create a very complex solution that uses all these assets, because I don't know if the customer is going to have SharePoint or going to have Office. And it was really hard to do. And also, the technologies that you use to develop these solutions were like very different. And there was no like way to package this as a single solution. Well, all that has changed. And in the new app model, the idea is that you can actually target and create apps that use SharePoint and Office initially. And in the future, all the different products we're expanding to Exchange. And we expect to create a unified app model where you can create solutions that basically leverage everything. So let me spend some time talking about a simple scenario of connecting to SharePoint. So I did the runtime demo of this app in a previous session, but probably not everyone attended that session, so I'm going to show it again. All right. So let me show you the runtime of that. So this is a simple, in this case, task pane app that can integrate with Word or Excel. It's called SPLister. And basically, what it allows me to do is select any table that I have in my document, like this one, for example, and then automatically generate a SharePoint list out of that. So let's see how that works. Now, one of the key things here is this app is going to talk to some arbitrary site URL that I want to create the list on. But this app, in this case, SPLister, is hosted in my own Azure website. If you see the, if you come here, security info, you can see the URL where this is coming from. So you can see this is being hosted right now in Azure websites. So there's a couple of challenges here. One is, how is that app going to have access to SharePoint, right? Because it's maybe it doesn't have permission. So the first thing that you need to know and be aware of is that SharePoint supports OAuth as a way for apps that integrate both SharePoint apps and apps for Office to be able to talk securely to SharePoint. So what we're going to do with this app is basically say, I want to connect to that site. And the first thing we're going to do is SharePoint is going to realize, oh, someone's trying to talk to me. But I want to ask the user, hey, do you want to trust this app to read and write to this SharePoint site? And this is a SharePoint-provided UI, which is basically an OAuth consent flow that allows the user to authorize the app. And it's going to issue an access token to the app so that subsequently the app can use that access token to make any API calls to the SharePoint REST APIs. So since the app for Office is just HTML and JavaScript, I can do all those API calls from my JavaScript client, or I can also do the server-side code on my server. Because I'm running in Azure here, I also have server-side logic for this app. So let me show you. I'm going to trust this app. So once I trust it, the app is going to receive the access token. Once the access token is in the app, then the app can start talking to SharePoint. So in this case, I'm going to provide the name of a list, just apps demo, and then say create list. And what this app is going to do is basically going to use the JSON OM of SharePoint from the JavaScript and create that list. And it seems it succeeded, and I can actually click here and see the list that just got created. So you can see apps demo is the name of the list that I provided. And just in a click, I got a list auto-created. So this is a simple example, but you can imagine the power of this type of integration where SharePoint exposes all its functionality, including lists, document libraries, workflow, external content type, VCS, search, enterprise content management. So imagine apps that run in the context of SharePoint, in Office documents, that also bring the power of workflow or search or enterprise content management in the context of the client app. And this is where the scenario starts getting very interesting. And all you need to do is basically implement this OAuth flow so that your app can start integrating into SharePoint. That's one of the options. Now, let's take a look at the code. So I have this project that is basically the code for that app. And let's run it. Since I'm running in debug mode, the UI is a little bit different, but it's pretty much the same concept. So the first thing I want you to notice is I click F5, and this app has both client-side logic and server-side logic. The runtime version that we saw is hosted in Azure, but right now this version is being debugged in my local IIS Express. So all the server-side code is running locally in my machine so that I can debug it. And as you can see, one of the first things that I am doing here is I'm retrieving a client ID and a redirect URL for my app. And those are the two elements that the OAuth protocol needs, along with a secret, in order for the app to be able to request access to a SharePoint site. And those two elements are configured in my web config. You can see I have my client ID, my secret, and my redirect URL. Now, how do I get those? Let me show you. So I'm going to go to dev.office.com. And this is the one-stop shop for everything Office, apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. So if you want to learn about Office, if you want to sell, you come here. And in here, there is this dashboard that if I log in into, it allows me to register apps that will talk to SharePoint. And this is Office 365. So this is what we call the seller dashboard. And basically what I'm going to show you is how do you register a new app that can talk to any SharePoint site in Office 365, of course, after the user authorizes it. By registering a particular app ID. So there's this section here about client IDs. So of course you need to register with an account. So once you have your account, I already have mine, you can come here to client IDs and generate a new client ID for your app. Basically a client ID is the identifier that allows you to request permissions to talk to SharePoint, to any SharePoint site. So when you create your app for Office, you come here and then you generate a new client ID. And for some reason, this one, okay, there you go. So you can see I have a few test and production client IDs that I created, but it's very easy. You just say, add a new one, and basically you give it a name. You need to specify the domain where your app is hosted, a redirect URL that will receive the access token when it is issued by SharePoint, and then some expiration period. And it's going to give you your client ID and your secret. I'm going to say cancel because I already did that. But that's how I obtain those two parameters that I need, that I need for my app here. Right? So I'm going to keep debugging here. So I read those parameters. And as you can see, the first thing that I'm going to do on this app is check if I already have an access token to be able to talk to a SharePoint site. But at this point, there is no site specified. There is no access code. So everything is null. I don't have anything. So I'm just going to let it run. And this is going to render the page, the welcome page. So in here, I can type a URL, which is already provided there. And then I'm going to say connect. And when I click connect, that's where the app is going to request permission to access that site that I provide. So let's see what happens. So as I say connect, there is this JavaScript code executing on the client that it's going to initiate the authorization request to SharePoint. So as you can see, I'm going to construct the authorization request by getting the URL that the user provided, and then appending a well-known path, which is a page in SharePoint that exists on all SharePoint sites, that is the authorize.aspx page, that allows me to request permission to write that site. The next thing that I'm going to do is add my client ID. I'm going to identify myself as this app. And I'm going to request a particular permission. In this case, it's the web.manage, which is what I need to be able to create lists. And then I'm going to say, give me the authorization token as a code in the query string, and provide that authorization code to this redirect URL. And then I have the option to provide some state. So once I do that, I'm going to navigate my browser window to that URL, which is going to hit SharePoint with all those parameters. So I'm going to let it run. And then, as you can see, now in my app, I navigated to that URL, and SharePoint automatically is going to display the trust UI with the proper parameters for that app. And I'm going to trust it here. And then that is going to issue an access code and then redirect to the page that I told the authorized page to redirect, in which, in this case, it's the same page of my app. So I'm going back to my splister.aspx page, the same page that rendered the initial experience. But this time, you will see that site URL is no longer, oh no, in this case it's null. But what is not null is the code. You can see now code came in the query string because SharePoint issued that code to my app. Now with that code, now I can start making calls to SharePoint to create stuff. So I'm going to let it run. It's going to come back with now the site URL. So now I have the URL of the site I want to write to, along with the code I need to be able to write to that site. I have everything I need. And then from that point on, this is just, I'm going to cache that code in a cookie so that I don't need to request it every time. And then I'm going to, with that code, obtain an access token that is the token required by the SharePoint OM. And now I'm talking to SharePoint OM at this point. I'm going to get a client context with an access token. And once I have that context, I can start just using the SharePoint OM as I would regularly do. I can start doing the full power of the SharePoint OM. In this case, you can see I'm just loading the web title, which I'm going to use here to populate this field. And then, since I already have a token, I'm free to do whatever I want. So from this point on, you can do very, very powerful integrations. So the point here is that apps for Office not only provide value of being an integrating the web and other rich content and services into Office, but also provide a lot of power when you integrate them with SharePoint. So there is this very nice Better Together story that we are starting to support, which allows you to do stuff like this. Now, we have 1 minute left, so I'm just going to do one last slide on functional areas on the API. So we saw several capabilities of the API. We are in a version 1, so not every single API is supported in every single client yet. But this is definitely something that is on the roadmap, and we want to make this matrix full so that everything is completely symmetric across the board. Right now, we still have a few spots here and there. But you can see that most of the apps support getting and setting selection settings, getting the file. The notion of bindings is currently supported only in Word and Excel, but again, we expect to fill in this matrix. So if you are interested in actually creating apps for Office, go to dev.office.com, and then you will see this information in detail over there. So with that, I'm going to wrap up and open up for questions. Thank you very much. So feel free to ask questions or just come to a small audience. So, okay, sure.
So Microsoft just released TypeScript, which is typed ECMA 5, I believe, sort of. Now, does Visual Studio allow for real-time debugging for apps for Office and SharePoint using TypeScript?
The short answer is yes, but let me qualify it. TypeScript is pretty new, and for those that are not familiar with TypeScript, it's a new technology we just announced like a few weeks ago. And it's about making JavaScript to a more robust pro development place where you can actually do typing and object-oriented programming on JavaScript, making it much more compelling for corporate development and pro development. So the question is whether you can use TypeScript for creating apps for Office, and the answer is yes. There's nothing special about apps for Office or apps for SharePoint. You can use TypeScript. Now, in terms of tooling, we're working with the Visual Studio team to have proper support for TypeScript and IntelliSense. So there's a bunch of little things that need to happen to have like a robust experience so that we give you the right IntelliSense, et cetera. So you will not see that in the tool yet, but if you want to do TypeScript, you can actually, there is a session, I think, tomorrow, specifically on using TypeScript in apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. So if you're interested in that, look at the schedule. I'm not sure if it's tomorrow or Thursday, but there is a session on TypeScript for this context. Question there? Yes. Can you pass parameters to the app when you launch it? It depends. The app basically is activated when the user inserts it. And what happens is when the user inserts the app, the runtime on the Office client is going to look at the manifest for that app. And the manifest is going to have the URL where that app is hosted. In that URL, you can pass parameters. However, you cannot pass parameters dynamically outside of that URL. So hopefully that answers your question. Yeah, there's that parameter that we pass that specify whether the app is being inserted or it was already in the document and the document just opened. But in terms of you passing parameters to the app when it is activated, that is not possible. All right, thanks everyone for joining and enjoy the Bon Jovi concert. See you there.